Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively not in the studio. I got Christmas ornaments around. There's beautiful local art everywhere. We're in a meat cheese of Little Italy. We got great guests. Matt Campbell's going to be coming on a little later on. We're going to talk about the Baltimore Convention Center, as well as the CAPS, 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 First Place Caps.
Yeah,
he's yelling. Chris Corman is here. He is my latest victim. Alan McCallum is tardy. He doesn't feel tardy, but he's tardy with his mask on. So we're going to have Alan and Matt coming. Chris Corman is the executive sports editor. They still call him executive or just sports editor?
Yeah, sure. Why not? That sounds better.
ESPN. Executive sports editor of the Baltimore Bats. Made you more money. $10,000 raise. He's an executive now.
Yeah.
Your offices are right here.
Yeah.
I invite you onto the show often. You're busy. Your staff is growing. Your brand is growing. I see all that stuff happening. It's been not a year. I had you on in February.
Okay.
When I had you on, the Angelo's death had just – it hadn't happened yet.
Okay.
The sale had happened. Angelo's had not died yet. So it was middle of February. It was Super Bowl week I had you on. You were out of Pappas.
Right.
You were talking Little League. Your Little League dad's with you that time.
Yeah.
We're 9 months later. Baseball, the city, the empty seats at the playoff game, the kind of year they had – payroll. I had Cal Ripken's guy, John Maroon, was here for an hour talking about Cal's involvement and all that.
Wow.
Where are you with baseball and how you felt 9 months ago and the heartbeat and the temperature of all of it? And really, I think heavy lifting that needs to be done by Katie Griggs.
Well, I mean, they have to spend money. I mean, Orioles fans want to know that maybe not Gunnar Henderson, maybe not, you know, but like they got to keep somebody. They got to keep Adley. They got to keep Grayson, they got to do something, and they got to invest in players that aren't here yet. My sense is that fans, we know of fans who are waiting. They have till January 15th to renew their tickets, and they are saying, "When you spend, I'll spend." And I think
it's different running a sports department than when I was younger. I mean, I was the barometer taking phone calls. I was the one guy taking phone calls forever, and I would get the temperature that way. But in the modern era, I don't take phone calls anymore. I go on my social media, and I see when the Birdland memberships go out, and I see I'm disgruntled fan number one, right? Like, I'm the most famously disgruntled, awful human being. I fought for integrity, basically. So, like, I'm the last guy to get back on the boat, but the people that are already invested in this dude, the people that have been spending money on Mark Trumbo, spending money on Mark Reynolds, just giving them their money and either coming or not coming, giving them their time, buying Christmas ornaments that say Orioles, this has been my argument from the beginning, got me thrown out. They deserve more than this. The community deserves more than a new team president that's been in 3 months that I think she's talked to you. But she hasn't talked to me, and she hasn't really sat with you.
Yeah.
She hasn't really been out in the way that they need a front for this organization. I mean, and it can't be Gunnar Henderson. I'm talking, they need a community business front to attack the trauma that has been brought onto the community for three decades, and they can't pretend it didn't happen, because it did.
Right.
You saw it. You're not even an Oriole fan. You saw it working at the other paper. Like, those 10,000 empty seats, they have to really piss somebody off around there. It pissed me off.
Right. You would think, but they haven't done anything, right? Like, what are they – you know, I first came to – I came to a game at Camden Yards the first year it opened. I was 11. Packed. And I go to games now, and I'm like, wait, why is this not happening?
What happened all the – how did you chase all those people?
Because it worked, right? Like, the 5 years of awfulness worked, and now we have these great players, right? And it's not...
It's go time.
Right. It's not delivering the fans. And I don't know. You know, we talk about that a lot as a staff. What is it? What is causing this this malaise in this market? Because other markets, people are going to games. You know, it's not like Philadelphia. They're all... The stadium's always full. So it's not like, oh, parents are busy, can't weeknight games. There's something else happening.
What is that? Well, I mean, dude, you and I'm not a real journalist. I just play one on the radio. But, like, it is up for us to ask these tough questions, because who else is asking?
I think it's that they haven't.
If it's not your beat writers, if it's not your columnists, if it's not me, it's not going to be BAL. It's not going to be these places that are, and I don't know how under thumb you are. You're getting funded by different places and there's expectations and whatnot. Yeah. And like, if I work for you, I wouldn't have a press pass and then you'd have to go fight with them, right? So like, you know, I can't work for you because of that, right? So they have set the a lower bar and a different kind of standard with Angelo's that has to be erased. And I said this to John Maroon an hour ago, standing right here. I'm like, you know, it's one thing to put Cal Ripken in front of it, but that's designed to make us feel better. And those commercials of David Rubenstein. But then the offseason happens, and then there's 2 months of nothingness. And when you say, who are the best players available? And the Orioles say, well, we can't afford them.
Right.
That's not what the fan base wants to hear from the billionaire who just bought the team after 30 years of having a guy who wouldn't afford it, who wouldn't front face, wouldn't do anything in the community. That this has to be dramatically different. And I'm telling you, dude, it hasn't felt dramatically different to me. You know, in the way that I want to invest in it. And that's not my press pass. That is like, where are the games? What's the deal? What's the Birdland membership? Come on to my show and say, I don't even know. Like, a fan of told me 2 weeks ago that he gives him $1,200.
$1,200? How many tickets is that?
Gives him $1,200 and puts it on the account,
okay,
knowing he'll just spend it during the year.
Okay.
So it doesn't come with it. That the first thing I said is like, is that the 13-game plan? Is that the Twilight plan? No, that's just you give them funny money, and they bonus you back cheaper beer, and then you can then use that money and say,
anymore?
I want two tickets. I want to go on Tuesday because somebody's pitching and the Royals are in town or whatever, and I'm going to use part of that money then. Chris, I think, by the way, Chris Corman from the Baltimore Banner is our guest. My biggest question as a guy who's banned, right, that I don't think they're giving me a press pass back, so therefore I don't think I'm really going to give them money or a ticket or buy the Birdland thing, right?
Like, I would love if you broke that news right now that you got a press pass back.
That's for the Banner to break that. You guys, you have access to ask the questions as to why I don't have a press pass. So if you're doing your journalistic duty, you'd be asking that question. So would your kids. But I would just say the media part of this is the biggest thing. How am I going to consume? It's a great week to ask this when Apple TV, Netflix, Amazon are going to run me around for games this week. I don't know. You know, Christmas Day, am I going to have Netflix on to watch the game? I guess I am, right?
Yeah,
if I want to watch the game. I bailed on that Miami-Kansas City game last year when they put the 8 o'clock playoff game on Apple or whatever. I mean, I just didn't watch. Oriole Friday night games, I don't watch them. They play on the channel I don't have, right? Those Saturday afternoon games that they put on at 11:30 in the morning that they think people – I don't watch them. To me, the Birdland membership, if I were asking Katie Griggs, what is the model 5 years from now for people who love your brand and love your team? How are you going to give them the games? So that when I'm in the car on Friday night and I'm driving to Ocean City, I can watch the game on my phone.
Yeah.
When I'm in an airport in Tahiti, I can watch the game on my phone. Right? Like, they don't have the distribution of their game. In a media world where everything comes at you in real time, they are the place that still, if my mother were 103 and alive, she wouldn't know where to go to get the game. I'm 56 and I don't know where to go to get the game. To me, this membership thing that they had, this $1,200 this guy took that gives to them, it has to come with, I'm getting the thing where I get every game because that's the mustard. Like, if I stop watching the games, I'm going to stop going to the games, right? So you got to give me the games where I am anytime I want it, and you got to make it one price, no bullshit, telling me I got to pay four different services and you're going to involve other credit cards and other streaming. No, give me the games. I'm an Oriole fan. Let me pay $259 a year, and it comes with two tickets for a game. It comes with a something, I don't know. But they're going to have to get into this Masson model of where the media is and figure out where that money is. Because Alan loves the Orioles. I don't know how much he's willing to give them to get the games every night. I don't know. But it came out of our cable bill, and we never felt it before. I mean, you're a young parent. You feel all of it now. The Disney Channel, the Paramount, you feel all of that.
Right.
What's the Oriole Channel?
I feel so much during Christmas, especially. I mean, it's got to be that they're going to – I mean, I think MLB wants to move to streaming. Like, they are buying up as many of these channels as they can. The problem with Masson is that it is part of the deal that allowed the Nationals to move here, and it's supposed to give the Orioles an advantage. And
it never has.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is not given. It's given somebody an advantage, you know. John.
Well, that was the poison pill. Right, the poison pill was always you're going to give them the same as you, and I'm going to control the bank. So we're going to get both as little as possible, and I'm going to pocket the money.
Right.
I mean, that was a 20-year scam.
Right. Yeah. And now John Angelos is somewhere spending that money. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to.
He had a walk-off grand slam. Born on third, hit a walk-off grand slam.
$1.7 billion. Jeez. Yeah, I mean, I think streaming is where it's going to be, but the question is how they get there and who gets the money. And the Orioles, you know, depending on how much, I don't know how much you believe, John, that they don't have the money to spend in this market. Like, Rubenstein certainly should.
I saw Rubenstein speak at Bet the Filler last month. I shook his hands, first time I met him, listened to him. And first things first, he doesn't know a lot about baseball. Like, if you were to sit and talk to him,
he admitted that.
So from that perspective, how many – I can't even ask him questions because he doesn't really have the answers. Like, any more than if he asked me about the Magna Carta. I don't have the answers, right? You know, it's not what I do, right? He said on stage, in our industry, you know, it's pretty routine that we spend what we make. And I took a moment and I thought, well, that won't be good enough. That just won't be good enough.
And it's also not true. I mean, the Philadelphia Phillies owner has said, I'm here to win. I'm going to spend whatever I need to spend. The Mets owner.
Padres before he died.
I mean, right. Like, that's just not.
If you're going to have a $120 to $150 million payroll here and you're going to claim we're a small market and you're going to cry that nobody came to the playoff games and you're going to spend the whole offseason doing nothing and you're going to ban people like me who want to talk about your team and want to help you sell tickets and want to create authenticity and spirit – I don't know what to say, but this is new, and it was supposed to be better than this. And I don't mean they had to sign Juan Soto, but they had to get on the phone and pretend. I mean, even if they weren't going to – Angelos pretended he was trying to sign Mark Teixeira. Somebody believed it. I didn't. But there is a point where if you're not trying to sign the best players
– He then signed people. He signed – I mean, wasn't Teixeira and then Palmeiro? I mean, wasn't it – like, I mean, he signed – like, when Peter Angelos bought the team, he went out and spent.
No. I'm talking about this is 15 years. Nobody would take his money. I'm talking about the Teixeira era was he was just lying and saying, we're involved. We offered Teixeira a fair contract. No, you offered him $200 million less than anybody. It's not a fair contract. Same thing with Messina. He said to me, we offered Messina plenty of money. Well, it wasn't enough. So that philosophy is the same for Juan Soto without anybody saying it. Is if you don't want the best players and you're not going to compete it that way and you're going to say, we're small market, we're cheaper, then you get what you get for 10,000 empty seats. Because if you're not trying hard, don't expect the fan base to try hard.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm at. I think that's the case right now. Fans are waiting to see that they are going to take an actual step. You know, it's one thing to build and draft and bring those guys up, which is hard to do, and I think Mike Elias wants a lot of credit for that, and he deserves the credit. But, like, you also have to take that step. You have to say, we're going to go out and get somebody to supplement this. The window is open, right? Like, this is Gunnar Henderson's time. He's as good as he's – I mean, like, he'll get a little bit better.
But he's not going to sign. But
well, right, so they got 4 years.
Well, that's what I said 3 weeks ago when Soto was still around. I'm like, if you're telling me we'll sign Gunnar when the time comes – Gunnar might not want to even be here. You can't guarantee. You know, he might have his eyes set on being a Dodger or a Yankee, and when the money gets there, his agent's got him all lubed up about that. He doesn't like empty. He don't want to play in a ballpark with empty seats or playoff. Like, all these guys feel all of that, and they all have an ego about it, but just thinking, we're going to wait and give our guy the money. Your guy might not want the money. He really might not. Right. Manny Machado did not want to be here. Right. Even if Manny Machado would have taken $300 million from Peter.
Right.
He didn't want to be here.
Let's also be clear that this money that they're giving the players, they make it back in multiple fold. Like, they, you know, Shohei Ohtani makes the Dodgers hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and then they pay him some of that. Like
if you're doing it right.
Right. I mean, this business is not, like, we do not need to feel bad.
All I would say to Rubenstein is, dude, you bought the freaking team. Don't poor mouth now.
Right.
You got involved in this. You got involved in this knowing the Yankees are always going to spend $300, and you're going to be lucky to ever get to $175, and it may break you to do that. Right. You may have to put $25 to $50 million into the kitty every year until you get to the point where this city reaches into its pockets with their credit cards out, and everybody buys your streaming because they have to have the game. And with that comes the chance to come down to the ballpark and get a hat and get a pennant and be a fan.
Right.
That, to me, the buy-in, and I keep saying this, and maybe it's the first time you've heard it because I haven't heard anybody else saying it. You looked at me a little weird. The buy-in is the media thing. The new buy-in is, do I have the Oriole package? Am I buying it or am I not? And this is the story for streaming with everything. When a movie comes out and they say, well, it's only on Disney Plus. Well, I don't have that. So F
right,
that. I
want right.
Yeah. Oriole games
it's
on not, Apple Plus, I'm not watching it.
It's not in your bubble.
I'm just not watching it. You know, that's it. You know, concerts, Pearl Jam wants $500. I ain't going. Hmm. Taylor Swift wants $1,000. I ain't. That's fine. You know, I mean, there is a point for all of that. And they don't carry the juice here that they did where the game has to be on in a bar. I go into bars all the time in this city, and the Oriole game's not on.
Really?
Oh, it's been going on for 20 years.
Oh, my God.
First thing I notice on a summer night is I walk in and say, are the Orioles relevant enough that never to Meachie's now. Here it's always on because they have the Oriole countdown here. They have the standings up here on a day-by-day basis. This is a baseball bar. But in a general sense, do you have to have the Oriole game on a Friday night if you're in a bar? Do you have to pay? You don't. You just don't. Nobody's going to say, well, I'm going to go to the other bar to watch. Because they don't care about the Orioles that way. They did 30 years ago when you were 11 years old.
Yeah.
I promise you, there was no place you went in this city in 1995, 96, 97, 98. Anywhere on Oriole game night where the Orioles weren't the center of gravity for everybody in the bar. Even if you were on a romantic date, you had an eye up just to see how Messina was pitching.
Right. And so what to you is the difference? Like, where did it get lost?
The owner ran a team into the ground.
Yeah.
The owner lied to everybody.
The new owner has not shown, hey, I'm different.
See, if the other owner were here and he were alive right now, he'd come back and he'd say something like, you folks over the banner, you have no idea what the Baltimore Sun put me through. You weren't the Baltimore Sun, Corman. Let me tell you what they did. It was their fault. It was the media's fault. They misconstrued my generosity. Go watch the tape of the Ripken night of what he did with his 14-minute speech.
Right.
And then watch all of the actions. I mean, John Maroon sat here and basically, for the first time ever, sort of threw Peter under the bus. He said,
today,
Cal wasn't involved for two decades. We don't really know why.
Mm.
We do know why. Cal wasn't involved for two decades, right? Brooks wasn't involved, right? So they... But what they did to businesses, Chris, you don't sell for a living. You're a sports editor. I know your world. I lived in it. I worked in it. It's all I ever wanted to do. I go out on the street and I talk to businesses. I can't begin to tell you how many people got fried by the Angelos family. Mm. And I'm talking about salesmen that went in and sold a cow, C-O-W, cow, not cow, cow, on the outfield wall.
Right.
And they went into pre-production to make the cow. And Peter got wind of the cow. There's not going to be a cow on my wall. So now the executive business leader has to call Chick-fil-A and say, there's no sponsorship. And Chick-fil-A says, what?
Right.
We took $500,000 out of the budget to give you to hit the cow. Well, we're not. Peter had a thing about the walls. You don't know any of this stuff? Oh, dude, I know crazy stuff. Peter hated color schemes on the outfield wall. He hated foreign cars. So he threw Toyota out. I'm not making that up. He threw Toyota out. So like 1 year it was like for Maryland National Bank or it was a bank. He didn't like their color. And he said, we don't want to see that color on the scoreboard. And they had to make the ad green and white like the Fenway Park ads.
Right.
They had to take their own color palette. In other words, Coke's red.
Right.
I like blue.
Right.
Let's sell to Pepsi instead.
There were crazy things
that went on in this organization that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And you're laughing at them, thinking I'm making it up. I'm promising you that like out on the street for 30 years of doing this, the businesses were the ones that were stung. And this really came. Just go through all of the suite owners for the Ravens. Just go through all of their suite owners. Every one of those businesses owned a suite at Oriole Park from 92 to 02. And when the 10 years were up, the Ravens had just won the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they all said, well, let's go get a suite at the Ravens. Or we have both. We don't really need the Orioles win anymore. We don't use the tickets. And that's when the Orioles cleared out. The Orioles cleared out in 02, 03, 04, and that's when Peter really started losing money. That's when the state – that's when – I wrote this to Peter Prince, but that's when
right.
Well, I mean, Sid Thrift told me this, Joe Fall, everybody told – their payroll went up. They signed David Segui. He was putting $25 to $50 million of his own money in, knowing that his kids would get $1.8 billion later. Well, exactly what you're talking about,
sure.
Like overfunding the team
right. –
knowing it was going to sell for $2 billion. Right. So what's Rubenstein doing?
Basic business.
Like, I'm thinking if Rubenstein bought this team for $1.8 billion and he's looking at the payrolls, even if he's just a math guy, and he is, he's a big-time math guy, right? He would look at this and say, I'm 74. My exit strategy is to sell it at 84.
Right.
In 10 years, with $600 million of funding and our own television network and a good team, we're going to be able to sell this franchise with the casino that we're going to attach to the stadium and the new revenues. We're going to sell this for $3.5
billion. Right.
$4 billion's a target. Okay, $4 billion, whatever. So I'm going to own the thing 10 years, and it's going to appreciate $200 million a year. Let's just take $75 million of that every year and pay too much for players. Let's just pay too much for players for the first 5 years just so we can see how good we can make this. Let's see how we can maximize revenue. Let's go make relationships with the people we bring. Let's call that a-hole from Dundalk with the long hair, give him his press pass back. Let's fix the things that we
right.
can fix that are easy, free, and kind. And then maybe after we invest, instead of $1.8 billion, we're up to $2.1 billion 5 years from now. And we have great players. Nobody talks about Peter Angelos anymore. When a sports editor of the Banner and the crazy FCC license owner get together, they don't even mention Peter anymore. They talk about what? The team on the field, the stars, the work in the community, the winter carnival, the things they're doing, the
right.
community, all the brand building that they want without earning it.
Yeah, and Rubenstein, if he had, we did a story that Peter Angelos, if he had taken the money he spent on the Orioles and just put it in the stock market, he would have made more money, right? Now that doesn't take into account he may have been profiting year over year, but like you're buying fun, right? David Rubenstein didn't buy the team strictly as an investment. It's not the best investment you can make with money, right? This is not like if you were strictly saying like I would like to make my progeny even more fabulously, ridiculously wealthy. You do something else with this money. So you automatically are buying fun.
And when
right?
you go in, there, you know you're going to have to give a Juan Soto $700 million.
Well, or
if you're adverse to that.
But look, they're not even in the $700 million. Like, we're talking, like, we'd like them to get into the, we're going to sign a pitcher for more than 1 year. Like
that we've heard of.
Right.
That's like, not 35 from Japan.
Yeah, but I mean, then that guy, just 1 year. Like, they're, you know, they're, like, they just will not step up.
They
into,
won't commit. So
right.
why am I going to commit?
Great question. I mean, I think, and that's where Orioles fans are. They're literally waiting for that. And I don't know if Elias just thinks he is so smart that he can do this his way, and he just wants to prove, like, hey, I'm always going to get value out of players. Because that's the hidden thing in sports, is like you have to overpay. Right, like you have to
waste money.
Right, you have a little bit,
and sometimes it's Marcus Williams, and we sit here and bitch about it when it's
right.
the Ravens.
Right.
But that's the cost of doing this.
Right, but then they make a ton of like Lamar Jackson. They pay the most, but they're making all that money back. Lamar Jackson's a marvel. He's incredible. People are buying his jersey. People will follow this Ravens team for it.
Well, the most important thing is he makes the team good.
Right,
that's the most important thing.
And then they take some risks with other players. You know, they spend money in other places and like. The Orioles just need to do that.
I just wanted to see a real energy change with the franchise.
Yeah.
And Katie Griggs is not going to be the energy. And she's just not. I think if that was going to be the case, I don't know where the off-season energy is. And they need to be better at that. For you, getting your press, getting me, getting us talking about them in a positive way and not in a we're going to give a community investment. We're going to build. That's all great. The team is the most important thing right now. The Ravens do all of that stuff, and they say they do all that. That they need to beat Pittsburgh on Saturday.
Nice.
Like you could do all the rest of that stuff, but performing on the field and then backing it up in the offseason and being what you say you're going to be.
Right.
A community organization, a local guy, winning,
Showing that you're trying is the most important thing, I think.
Bringing back pride to the fan base.
Yeah, fans are smart enough to know that, okay, if you don't quite win, like, okay, one team wins at the end of the year. But if you're not even trying, I mean, that is the difficulty.
You're almost
right?
like the Jets.
And to do it on purpose for so many years and to not at some point to get to, like, okay, we have Adley. And, like, Adley's turned out to be good, but – you know, might not be what we thought, but Gunner is better than anybody thought.
Adley thing's, it's not good or bad. He just went off the cliff, and now we got to figure out what happened. And, you know, I'm the journalist
catchers
here, right?
Are tough.
Like, well, the other part is, was he healthy? Is his mind right? Was there something off the field? Was there just something not right about, clearly the results were not right.
Right.
So and they're not going to talk, right? I mean, it's our job as journalists to try to figure it out. But
we gave Adley every opportunity to say, hey, you're hurt, right?
Like, oh, I know.
Something's wrong with your hand. You got hit.
Well, there's something wrong with the hand thing. That there was video evidence
of course.
That would have been easy. And it's not about being a tough guy or not. It's about the results and about saying, are you a mess or was it just a bad summer? And I think with him, with the track record, I think it was just a bad summer. I think he's shown at every level that that's who he is. Something really went awry this summer, but you need to fix that.
Right. And he's still a plus value player by far, right? Like he is, his throwing arm's not great, but he's a good defensive catcher.
I don't know, dude. His hitting was really, really bottom of class for too long, way too long. It wasn't a month or two months. It was a season.
It's a real concern and a reason that, like, you go out and you spend money. And they're going to say, well, we gave Sanchez $8 million or whatever, which is a lot for a probable backup. They're going to say that, but, like, there's, you know, you look
he's
around
gonna
the league.
He's going to get 280 at-bats.
Yeah.
He is.
You look around the league, and lots of teams are spending a lot of money.
That they don't have, allegedly, right?
And it is a direct competition. They have to keep up with these teams.
I keep going back to those 10,000 empty playoff seats, and I think to myself, if I own the team, if I represented the team, if I were a base runner for the team, I'm a fan of the team. I'm a deposed fake media guy, and I'm mad about it. Asses should get chewed when there's 10,000 empty seats for a playoff game.
Yeah.
The players should be chewing the asses of the front, saying, we're down here playing. You guys can't sell tickets? What's wrong with this place? Why would I want to sign here where they're not even coming to playoff game? Like, there's a little bit of that, and I was stunned by it. I mean, I've been here a long time, and I think of myself as an expert and a smart guy and all that. I did radio with Luke that week, and I saw that there were a lot of tickets. And Joe Enoch's one of my longtime sponsors and buddies, and he's a curmudgeon, way more curmudgeonly than me. And he and I are always looking at ticket apps. It's like our little fun. Right. Because that's the real – the value of the Ravens-Steelers tickets is $300 this Saturday because the market says so.
Right.
It's a big deal.
Does that get in, $300
right now? It's $300 to get in. It'll probably be $1.50 by Saturday because it'll be cold and, like, weather does affect all that. But for the baseball thing, for tickets to be $15 on the night of a playoff game everywhere, I hit Joe on that Saturday and Sunday and said, the Orioles have been doing this for a long time. They scalp their own tickets. Everybody knows this. Opening day, they hold everything back, and then they flood the market the day before opening day, and ticket prices depreciate dramatically because they held them all back trying to sell what you would call a season ticket, right?
Right.
They did that with the playoff tickets. They were trying to get $1.25 at all the playoff tickets, and nobody was paying it. And then all of a sudden, it's the day before the playoff game, they got 20,000 empty seats, and they went 70, 50, 30, 20, 18, 15, 12, and there were still a couple thousand empty seats. And then they lost and didn't score. And then the next day, the real embarrassment happened because nobody came back, right? And I was at a bar. I was at the Beaumont over in Catonsville the night that they got eliminated. And it may have been the first night, but either way, I was at the bar, and it's a small bar like Amici's. There were a dozen people. It was after the game. It was like 8 o'clock at night. So everybody there was wearing a cap, and everybody had come from the game. Mm. It was a little cold, too, as I remember it. And everybody started talking about what they paid to get in. I bought early. I paid $1.50, man. I should have waited. $20 today, $15. Dude, that's not what you want at the bar at Catonsville after you get eliminated. You know what I mean? Like, it really was I paid what for that hotel room? And we had the same hotel.
Right.
There was a lot of that going on because the Orioles tried to scalp their playoff tickets.
Right.
And they didn't get away with it. Then they tried to give them away, and nobody wanted to come.
Yeah.
That's That breaks my heart. And I, you know, it breaks my heart on behalf of Angelos and the old things or whatever, but just on behalf of how hard the players were, how long of a season it was, that they deserved more support there at the end. And you can't ask for more than $10 tickets and $15 tickets. If nobody wants to come, they don't want to come. I'm worried about them. You know what I mean? I'm worried about what it's going to take for them to get up and run. Not about them being nice to me or whether they're going to get their $800 a year from me to go to some games. And I would give them money. I would come. I would forget that Peter ever lived if they didn't treat me like he's still alive on a personal level. But they're treating everybody like he's still alive. They're, in regard to customers, fans, communication, how they're positioning this, how they should want all of us to buy tickets today, how they should have a winner card, all of that. How they should be begging you to write shit about them and begging you to offer them tickets. You know, I don't know. They're not doing any of the above from what I can see, from what I see.
No, I mean, I think they and most sports, you know, it's not much different on the Ravens side. You know, the Ravens have the benefit of having been good consistently for a long time, but sports
The Ravens have the benefit now, of the doubt, though.
Right. Sports teams now, I mean, they very much see themselves in the seat of power, and in some ways they are. They see themselves as their own PR machines. They don't really think they need us. They would much prefer to put their player, you know, they would never have a player come speak with you when they can have a player speak with
them,
one of their employees, and say,
sit on the lounge.
Man, you're so great. Tell me how great you are.
You're great.
tell me about the
game. You know what I really loved about the game last weekend that we lost? You know, like, yeah, I had Mark Hyman on. Were you a Maryland guy? You a Maryland school guy? Where'd you go?
No, I went to Penn State, but I know Mark well.
Well, Mark was a colleague. I mean, Mark's one of the first people I met 40 years ago in the business.
Oh, wow.
I had Mark on for an hour 2 weeks ago, and he's reluctant to come on because he thinks I'm going to go down the Chad Steele road or whatever. And he comes on. I've known him 40 years. Well, there is a point where, not to be a jerk to you, but you're the sports editor. If you're not willing to ask Chad Steele why I don't have a press pass, and if the head of the journalism school doesn't want to talk to me about journalism access for someone who's done it for, then I have no hope. You know, if you're not going to hold him accountable and the journalism people are, then I have to hold him accountable. You know, but
well, they haven't answered you, right? I mean, they don't.
No.
I mean, they don't answer us about a lot of things we ask either. So, you know, that's.
Oh, I understand.
That's just where they are.
I fully get it. But that doesn't. They had 20,000 Eagle fans in those seats 2 weeks ago. You know, somebody sitting
How many Steelers fans are there going to be?
Plenty, because our fans don't pay $300 for tickets. They sell their tickets for $300 to suckers from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. He's from Philadelphia, by the way. Chris Gorman's here at the Baltimore Banner. He is the executive sports editor. I just made him the executive sports editor because that's what Jack Gibbons was and Marty Kaiser. He worked at the Sun for a long time. He's running the Banner. They're doing good stuff. Tell me what you're proud about with your outfit, because you and I, as I remember, sat right here where Mac and Alan were back before you were a publication and back before you had a sports section.
Right,
literally. And you and I sat here. I don't know you. I only know you through the air. We don't get together much, but we sat here and you had a dream. Ted Venatoulis had a dream.
Right.
All of you had a dream of doing this. And I had someone on the air this with Matt Gallagher from Goalsecker came on last week at Fadley's, and he reiterated something that I don't say enough. And I met Kyle Goon one time, but you guys are doing something nobody else is doing. This crowdfunded journalism and not-for-profit journalism. This is not – you being successful at it is really important for the country. And I say that as somebody who stands on the outside trying to take it all in after the Sinclair people bought and completely corrupted the place we both worked.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what I'm most proud of, honestly, is the entire effort of the Banner, right? Like, it is essential that we have someone – we have people – doing journalism in this town that are not just looking at the flaws of this city. That is a very easy thing to do. It's how the rest of the country looks at us, and it is not a horribly flawed place.
He says, on Baltimore Positives. I love that.
It has its challenges, but it has its solutions too. I mean, the murder rate is way down. Like, when we work on things, we can make them better. I think we all see what's happening at the Sun. We see that the way that they want to make money, right? We see the types of stories they want to put out and the type of subscription dollars they want to bring in. And we are doing something much different than that, right? We are trying to show the reality of Baltimore, but also the possibility of Baltimore. And we're able to do that because of where we're situated. On the sports side, that means that we tell some nice stories. You know, we just tell great stories about the people making sports happen here. We're critical when we need to be. We've been critical of these teams whenever it's been called for. But I just think we have really thoughtful writers who are trying to tell the stories that help connect people. You know,
how big's the staff now?
We have 6 writers, an audience engagement editor, couple other editors behind the scenes. So yeah, about 10.
I just know so many people in your building, and when I invited
and
Chris
the staff
over,
itself is like 80.
You know, I've invited you to Fadley's, and you've been busy, and you could walk up there. But when today happened, you're
Fadley's.
Like, I want to walk to Amici's and come over to Amici's. And I mean, your office right down here in the harbor, and I see Fenton and all sorts of people putting pictures up all the time when they're at the office. And I had worked in that building at one point in the quarters building there.
Oh yeah,
at various points doing different things. The notion that, to me, you and I sat at the bar here 2 years ago and this thing was a thing but not really a full thing, and now it's, I want to say the thing, because there's no other thing in regard to breaking news, and I see it on my timeline all the time, because unlike something where I could put together some funding and have created something like this 15 years ago, this thing's funded to the point where you can do it appropriately. I mean, I tried to fund a sports operation 15 years ago, Brian Billick and some other people. We were underfunded as an AM radio station. And what I wanted to do, and maybe what Pressbox has done, I think, poorly in a magazine standpoint, is be this sports, because it's poorly because it's only once a month, right? Like, it's not a daily thing in the way that I saw what Comcast SportsNet was trying to do, what the Baltimore Sun had always done, that missing piece that when the Baltimore Sun shrunk was that the revenue wasn't there and they had to fire all these people and shrink. The banner feels like it's right-sized from the beginning to break the news, cover City Hall, do the important thing, do the heavy lifting that if I'm not implicating Brandon Scott as being corrupt, but if he were, you'd have people there breaking that story because they're the same people who did it to Pew 10 years ago.
Right.
That I know there's a capability there for the people you have to do real journalism. I know that that's not capable anymore at the Sun.
Yeah.
I mean, I had Dan Rogers. I know that that's not going to be the way they do it any more than Rocco Bacco was going to be a journalist working for Baltimore Orioles and working for Peter.
Right.
Anymore. It's just, that's not the way it's going to be.
Yeah. And honestly, the banner still needs a lot of support, right, from the city. Like, I will come on air and say,
subscribe.
We need subscribers because, like, we are doing what the Orioles should do, and we are spending above our where we should.
Right.
Like,
I think that much is obvious. Yes.
This thing, right?
Like, great way to put it. You're overspending to make it great in the hopes that we'll build it and they'll come.
And we're trying to prove that it's important, that this work and that having these sort of conversations, I mean, which I think you have all the time, is an important way to make Baltimore a better place.
Thank you.
It's not, I mean, holding people accountable, 100%. Like, that is the main thing that drives us, right, is holding people in power, whatever they are doing, whatever they're doing with your tax money, whatever they're doing with the city, the land, like, that's a huge deal. But
well, Wes Moore's been running from me while he ran on my air. He's been running from me ever since he did the Papa Wave with John Angelos. Because he doesn't want to talk about it, I guess.
Yeah.
But his people, Angela Alsobrooks, I had 2 dates with her. She canceled them both before the election. Larry Hogan never got back to me, but he's a Republican, so it's okay. They won the country. So there is a point where, like, if you don't want to come on, you get what you get.
Right.
But if you come on, you get what you get, which is a chance to tell them, everybody, me, so then I go back on the air tomorrow and the next day, and everywhere I go, I say, hey, that Corman, he's a right guy. Those banner people, they're trying hard down there. They're doing, they're front-facing. They're trying to, and look, man, what's happened to the Sun the last 6 months? I don't want to say it was inevitable, because I didn't see it as inevitable. I didn't think that the Sinclair people would want to buy it, but to buy it and hollow it out and just sort of wreck it for anybody who ever read it, knowing that it's just, it's propaganda now. It's no longer news. It's so much more important that Stuart Bainum and Ted, before he died, had this vision to put this thing in. Because if our city didn't have you right now, I don't know what it would have. I mean, in regard to journalism. Because I see these other cities that don't have you. New Orleans and these other cities where the newspaper just stopped publishing every day, or like in the Sun sent their publishing to Bemidji.
Right.
You know, they're not even publishing it on the street anymore. what you guys are doing and the time you came in, so freaking critical, man, especially with Trump running the country and us with African-American, Democrat, left-leaning leadership throughout the state. What's going to happen to the city and the state and the bridge? You know, I need you on that wall. And you tell everybody down there.
Yeah.
You know?
And we've got 80 some people now doing that day by day. You know, the energy in that building is incredible. Like, to go,
you're doing great
there,
work. You really are. You're doing great work.
So,
how much it costs to subscribe? How you get me a deal? I get 10% off. I know Corman or what I do?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's $1 for 6 months. We'll have some new deals, I think, starting next year.
And then what is it after 6 months? That's an important question.
Yeah, like 20,
you know why I ask you this?
$20 a month?
$20 a month.
Yeah.
The reason I ask you this, did I tell you this last time I had you on? Baltimore Sun, when you were working there, I canceled you. Can I tell you that? I canceled you. When I was going to run for mayor, Mueller thought it was important that I subscribe to the Sun because I hadn't been subscribing. So I did the dollar for the Black Friday, whatever, right? So I put my money in, and then I start seeing my credit card get banged, and then the plague is going on. And then I'm like, all right, I'm not reading it. I got to cancel it. I think you had left by then. Makes you feel better.
Yeah. I was gone for a long while at that point.
He wasn't, but it's okay.
No,
so,
I
called to cancel it. I got put on hold with somebody in the Philippines for an hour. I was on hold forever. They picked up, and this person was a pit bull. Mister, you do not want to cancel the Baltimore Sun. We will give you more opportunities to... No, I just want to cancel, dude. Take my credit. But, sir, you're missing out on the opportunity. He was just reading the sheet, right? Like, it was unbelievable. And it went on and on and on. And I'm like, oh, my God. If Dan Rodericks knew that I was going through this right now, he would get a different gig. Because, like, I love Dan. I love the paper. I worked at the paper.
Right.
Like...
It's an institution. I mean,
and canceling it was by far, other than that McAfee guy that was stealing the money from everybody's credit cards in the down in Panama, this was the hardest thing I've ever had to get off my credit card.
Jeez.
So it was a nightmare. I gave him a buck in the beginning, then I gave him $27 a month for like a year until I realized, oh, okay, this has got to go. And they refused to let me get out, right? Like literally.
Right.
So that's why what I said to you, wink, wink, is. All right, buck for 6 months. All right, $20. Can I cancel it if I had? That's all. I don't have to call the Philippines to cancel it, right?
I sure hope not.
Into that for me.
My understanding
really
is that our situation is a lot better. You can talk to the person on the line, and they will. You know,
well, nobody wants to cancel the
banner. They'll offer you other things.
The idea is to not make you want to cancel. That's the idea.
Right.
And to know what you're getting into.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, like they are going. I mean, dynamic pricing is where we're headed for media in general. You know, it's going to be sort of a situation where you're saying, "Well, what do you want? How much do you want to pay for it?" So
like Springsteen tickets.
Yeah. So you know, I think that's where we're headed. Like I saw a paper recently that had a 5-day pass for $5. Thought that was brilliant. You know, like what a great idea for the people who want to try it out or just need one story. Or
I'll say this to you in a general sense. Paywalls are a bitch. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
and when I hit them, when I see something on Twitter, Blue Sky Fit, and I hit it and hit the paywall, I'm like, I'm not giving the Boston Globe $5 to just read this one piece.
Right.
Right. So I don't.
There's got to be a better solution.
I don't know the model.
Right.
But I don't think that's it. And I think it fundamentally, the reason I've been worried about the banner, other than the funding itself that it will have, is it sustainable? Same question Mr. Rubenstein should be asking about his baseball team.
Yeah.
You know, what makes the payroll sustainable? And for you guys, you're doing great work, man. So I just want to give you some love.
Thanks.
Happy holidays.
It. Thanks, you too.
All right? If you see Mr. Rubenstein, tell him to give me my pass back.
You saw him yourself. Sounds like it didn't work.
He had very little interest in talking to an Aparicio. Very little interest. They do great work at the Baltimore Banner. Make sure you're following them. Hi, Kyle. Hi, everybody out there covering. Justin, come back, do the show. I don't know. Pam did the show before the election.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Pam's fantastic.
We thought it was going to work the other way around. We didn't. Who would have seen this coming? We're at Amici's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving you the $5 holiday luck doubler. This is for Chris Corman of the Baltimore Banner. Alan McCallum is here. Matt Campbell is here. Those guys are best of friends, and they didn't know that I was inviting them both onto the show. So this is a little holiday magic. It's eggnog magic. It's Italian magic. We're at Amici's. Stay with us. Thanks for coming by, Chris. Appreciate you, man.
Sure.